We bat. Joey, what episode is it?
25.
Anybody else got a guess?
Joey, guess again.
Is it not 25?
No.
24.
Wrong way.
You're going the wrong way.
26?
Yeah. That's one of my new favorite parts of this show.
It's the only bit that Joey's good for.
Yeah, that's our new leadoff segment of Does Joey Know What Episode It Is? The answer is always no. But we are back. Interesting week in wrestling. Had
like so much shit has happened.
Some crazy shit happened. Then we had AEW Double or Nothing this weekend. Had some crazy stuff happen this week. Got a premium live event that looks like complete dog shit this weekend. We probably said that every time. So, I mean, so that's going on this weekend. Yeah, so probably should just jump into it because we got a lot. So I think we're going to cover everything, talk about Double or Nothing, talk about all the shit that happened, and then, excuse me, we're going to do picks for Hell in a Cell. So what we got?
All right, here we go.
Thanks. Thanks for the QA. Thanks for the QA.
I finished the intro. Joe's like, all right, AJ, you're good to go.
So we had, what, Double or Nothing this past Sunday? A 20-hour pay-per-view.
Joey, do you remember any of it? Okay, that answers my question.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I didn't sleep through all of it.
Oh, but you slept through most of it.
I'm not a bad at my eyes somewhat.
Okay, sure. So yeah, it was about like 5 hours, the pay-per-view, altogether. Their longest show. We thought Revolution was long. I feel like this one being their quote-unquote staple pay-per-view. The first of the calendar year, essentially, get them back into the old celebration. It was the third year back at T-Mobile Arena, right? MGM Grand, T-Mobile Arena.
Yeah. Is that the same place?
No, so I think they changed the venue this year. Can't remember where the first one was.
Hold on, I can actually pull it up. So 2019, Double or Nothing was at the MGM Grand Arena. 2020, it was at Daly's Place, TIAA Bank Field. That was the same place for 2021. And then this year, it was at the T-Mobile Arena.
Cool. Yeah. Which is also funny because they were advertising, WWE was advertising Money in the Bank on a video van outside of the arena, which was pretty funny. Dustin, you dumb bitch! Why'd you let that happen? Why are you signing off on those things?
Don't do that.
Yeah, can't be doing that shit. So you start fights and get stabbed in the back alley. Just ask Bruce Wayne's parents.
Did that happen at the T-Mobile or behind the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas?
Yep.
To lead off real quick, what I will say before you start bringing down the card, should we talk about who, like, I mean, obviously it's kind of obvious who is not only won, but retained the Picks Championship again for an unprecedented third time in a row? That was me.
No one gives a shit.
Picks were close, it came down to the tiebreaker between me, AJ, and Dustin. AJ almost pulled that clean sweep again. If it wasn't for Darby Allin and Team Taz, which the Team Taz one we all got wrong, so that one, I don't know if you want to, how we chuck, we all, because two of us picked Swerve in lead, two of us picked Team Taz, Adam didn't pick anybody. Adam coming in with the 0 and 11 on these, but it, like I said, it did come down to the time, and the time on the match was 25:40. I picked 25 minutes. Dustin picked 27. AJ picked 34. So, like I said, AJ was the only one that went with Darby. and he got that one wrong. AJ was the only one to also go with the Hardys. He did get that one right, so that's where the rest of us got. Like I said, then we all got the Swerve and Team Taz. Joey got an additional two wrong, picking the Blackpool Combat Club and Hangman Page. Joey, you suck.
Getting the most wrong again.
Well, I mean, Adam was there, so do you count? Well,
Adam doesn't give a shit.
Adam, okay, I guess the one that actually picked, they got the most wrong. I got you. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
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 So yeah, he's used to losing Peep the Hat, bro.
That's true. Okay, now it's working. Yeah. So, and again, I think, well, I tried to look it up. I'm pretty sure that is a record of the most times successfully defended in a row.
It is.
Because I'm that damn good.
Right, sure.
Okay, now we can continue what we're talking about.
Okay. So, we did have two debuts. Every pay-per-view, we're expecting at least some type of debut of an individual. This time, it came from a managerial position. Stokely Hathaway, the former Malcolm Bivens, is returned. He showed up at AEW, part of the Jade Cargill segment. Mark Sterling came down to the ring. He got his ass beat. Hathaway came down the ramp to kind of settle the odds. It seems like Sterling has been fired as a manager for Jade. It looks like they're kind of kicking him off to the side. She's got a new manager in Hathaway. Great persona on the microphone. I think it's going to work tremendous for Jade. Jade has already been pretty good on the microphone, but to have an additional mouthpiece like Hathaway in her corner just elevates the character further. Also debuting during that segment, as Jade beat Anna Jay, the baddies came out and they were going to beat her up. Statlander came down to make the save, but obviously 2 versus 3. Music hits, unfamiliar music. The debuting Athena makes her debut at Double or Nothing, the former Ember Moon. So it's pretty interesting.
Dustin, don't you fucking say it. Keep your fucking mouth shut.
I think Athena joining just boosts the women's roster. Yeah, you shut the fuck. I'm going to zip your lips.
Oh, yeah. That is 100% who's taking the title off of Jade and who's going to give Jade her first loss.
You really think it's going to be I still think it could be Stat. I think Stat needs it, especially with the new gimmick change. Athena coming right out the gate. Obviously, she's going to go through the baddies to get to Jade. But I don't know. I think it could either be Athena or Statlander. I would prefer it to be Statlander, but that's just me. But yeah, that was, you know, key moments. Double or Nothing, CM Punk, new AEW champion, as we already know. First individual to be the head world champion for three major promotions, WWE, Ring of Honor, and now AEW. You know, some people could say he was the ECW World Champion, but that was still a segment WWE. Of WWE, the relaunch of ECW, so doesn't really count, per se. So, good for Punk. Are you going to say something about it, Joey?
No. Well, AJ, he's been AJ Styles, not you. He was New Japan.
Well, he didn't have the ROH one, though. But he had New Japan, WWE, and TNA. Yeah.
TNA and WWE.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Technically, I mean, NWA. It was still the NWA title.
Well, AJ had both. AJ Styles had both. He had the NWA World. I actually just seen a picture about that recently.
Yeah.
Of all the titles that he had. And he's had the WWE twice. He was like the 35th or something. I don't know if that's right. New Japan World World Heavyweight Champion. And then was also.
The 15th Grand Slam champion.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Well, I think that was WWE, and then he did have the TNA and the NWA as well. So
yeah,
he held both.
MJF had his match with Wardlow.
Speaking of that, because that was, I specifically remember that angle, because that's when AJ Styles had the TNA Championship and he fucking left TNA and took the title with him. And I think that's when he went to Japan. And it was kind of a storyline, but you didn't know if it was really fucking real between him and Dixie Carter or whatever, because he, like, I don't know if he showed up in New Japan with the TNA title, but I know he fucking left with it, and I don't think we ever seen him. And I could be completely wrong on that, but I remember him
leaving. He did leave with it, but I don't think he ever had, he didn't bring the belt and displayed it there. Probably would have cut his hands off if they did that. Displaying another promotions title in the company. I don't know. It might be different. I know Ace Austin's out there. He's the current X Division champion. He's participating in the Best of the Juniors tournament. I don't know if he came out with the X Division title, but I know Takahashi said that he really liked that title and he wouldn't mind coming to America to fight for it in at Impact. So I don't know if that's ever going to happen. But
I don't even know what the X Division title looks like anymore. Does it still look it used to?
I mean, it still has a big red X on it, but I mean, they've all had upgrades to the design.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see it. Because it's got the new like Anthem OWL logo on it.
Right. Back to Double or Nothing. MJF had his squash match with Wardlow. Very old school style. Probably Joey would appreciate it as much when a wrestler is on his way out of a territory. They would just obviously take the biggest beating, put this new star over, and then get taken out on a stretcher, which obviously happened to MJF, but the fucking medical team didn't know how to put an oxygen mask on him.
I specifically mentioned that when we were watching, because we watched it at Joey's house. I specifically mentioned, I was like, look, that dude's got it over his fucking nose. It's not even over his mouth. It was so fucking funny. Dude just had the top of the mask just literally right here. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Like, we can tell you're an actor, okay? Like, you're not real emergency.
You put it on like a CPAP, right? Just goes over your nose.
Yeah. He's like, oh, you're going to sleep, dude. Just don't make sure you choke on your tongue or anything.
Yeah.
But yeah. Who's to say if that would potentially be his last match? But if we transition everything that's going on with MJF and Tony Khan, besides the promo that he did yesterday, which was his own version of a pipe bomb, calling Tony Khan a fucking mark and name dropping WWE a couple twice. Times. What we have here, so that weekend, FanFest was on Saturday. He no-shows FanFest. Doesn't even bother. It said that he had a flight booked for him that Saturday night to go back to the East Coast. It was said that he didn't go, obviously. He stayed. They made him the first match. He stayed isolated until his music came, or a hit came out. They did the match, and then he left. He didn't fly out of Vegas. A lot of the talent stayed in Vegas for this LA Coliseum show. Not the Coliseum, but the LA Forum. So a lot of them stayed in Vegas, and then they flew into LA for the Dynamite taping. It was said that MJF and a lot of the higher-ups of AEW, mainly Tony Khan, stayed in Vegas to have further discussions. It was saying that the roster was pretty upset of how MJF handled the FanFest situation. You know, like I said, he was kept in a separate location till his match. But one of the key elements and talking points to why MJF is very upset with Tony is obviously the treatment of him being a high caliber star. He's, you know, top heel. He can handle a program. Very good on the microphone, old school wrestling style. He's not being treated as a top tier card talent. He's not being paid like a top tier card talent. A lot of ex-WWE people that are coming in, a lot of them that are, some of the names are kind of surprising, but you know, some of them that were being paid more, Malakai Black was one. I don't see that being too crazy. Adam Cole, Danielson, Punk, obviously, yeah, those are top tier names.
One of the things he said was none of them can lace his boots, and I was like, okay, bro, I don't know about that. Like, I would, like, a lot of these people coming in, some, okay, I won't say a lot, some of these people coming in are better than MJF. I'm just going to leave that out there, but.
Yeah.
Did he mention Keith Lee?
No. So, well, he didn't mention anyone by name, but I'm just listing off of where insiders were saying that they were making more than MJF, but Mark Henry was making more, Christian Cage was making more.
Apparently, yeah, those MJF guys is being paid, shouldn't be making more than MJF.
Right. MJF is being paid 4 or 5 times less than those stars. As him being where he is in the match card, as a, well, when we say where he's at the match card, I mean, he was the first match for Double or Nothing. But, you know, with the feud that he had with Punk, that was like towards the end. Usually he's in the, I want to say he's a mid-carder. But, I mean, that's where his position is in the card, if you think about it, of a card that's of at least 10-plus matches. So, I mean, Roman and Brock have always said, you're either first or you're last on a card. Because if you're first, you're opening the show, you're going to put something on really good. And, of course, if you're the main event, you're the main event, you're the top guy. And so
a lot of people like going first because it's like, especially if they know they're going to have a good match, like a good quality match, because then it's a way, it's for your individual self, it's a way of looking at the rest of the roster and be like, okay, now fucking follow that. You know what I mean? Like, helps put yourself over too.
Right. So in those cases, you know, him being this first match, it works in his favor. Now, with the promo that happened yesterday, there were Warner Discovery executives backstage. Probably they wanted to start talking about whatever they need to do for contracts, television work, what they want to do with Ring of Honor, further the deal with AEW, with TNT and TBS. Probably those discussions. Obviously, MJF does the pipe bomb, makes a point. He's like, they're very important people backstage. It'd be a real shame if something bad happens. So he goes off. A lot of people, Fightful, I just got a message, an email saying, a lot of people backstage after that promo really think it's a work. Like, without a doubt, because MJF got the reaction everybody wanted. Everybody got what they wanted out of that promo. It was everything that was expected. You know, it's a shoot into a work, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he said was 100% the truth, without a doubt. The way he's going about things now going forward and how he wanted everyone to get, like, a reaction, I think everybody got it. I think he said the executives weren't too keen on the language that he was using. Which is pretty funny. I mean, yeah, of course. Like, you're swearing on television.
Lace his goddamn boots is what they said. What he said. They were like, those people were like, I don't think he's supposed to say that.
So obviously there's something from that, but I also think it's a way for Tony to showcase MJF if the executives don't believe MJF is a top tier talent.
That actually is pretty smart.
So, I mean, it'd be like, there's like, all right, go out there and show them, prove them wrong.
Yeah.
And then fucking completely rip into Tony Khan and the backstage and how all these ex-WWE guys are getting paid more than him. Show that MJF is worth that dollar value. Yeah. And I really think with this new deal that Tony's trying to work out is a lot of that money's going to MJF, obviously. So, I mean, a lot of people I know, the IWC has taken liberties to say, oh, well, what is everyone saying and comparing MJF to the whole Sasha and Naomi situation? You're going to call them unprofessional. And if MJF walks out or tells them to fire him, that he wouldn't get the same treatment, or a lot of, I mean, IWC, more like all the WWE marks like Dustin crying about things like that. But I don't know. I think there's definitely more to come from MJF's this case. I mean, again, 100% true. I think now after yesterday, though, it's feeling like you're leaning into a work, because a lot of people didn't know about the fan fest of him not showing up. But with the events of yesterday, and then the after the cameras cut him off, and we go to commercial, and Punk coming out, and MJF just running away and leaving. I mean, I don't know. It could easily turn messy, but not also. I feel like it's not people aren't talking about it either like they are talking about when Cody left. Or like he was like, I'm leaving. Now that could be just of how people don't want to get into a spat with MJF over social media or anything like that. But people can tell that, you know, he's definitely been hurt with everything in terms of his value within the company.
I think you don't put a mic in his hand if you're unsure about
what. Yeah, that was the big thing for me. Is
he don't get to have that promo if they're
haven't gone over it
or whatever. Yeah, if he's not already signed a new deal,
right?
He doesn't have that promo,
right? Well, either it's that. Or, I mean, easily Tony could just be like, just go out there and just fucking tear it up. Like, just go out there and just speak whatever. Like, they don't have to go over it or, like, not know what he was going to say. But just be like, go out there, speak from the heart, rile the crowd, show these people back here what you're actually capable of. Regardless of any type of bias that anyone has backstage, if there is any, I think to an extent Tony would definitely trust MJF to do the work, I mean, he's very MJF's the old school business mentality, so like, fuck it, just go out there.
I mean, he's kind of old school everything. Like, he's, you know. Yep. Old school type wrestler, old school like kayfabe heel outside of the business. Where I legit the other day was talking about MJF to non wrestling fans, and was explaining how he did an autograph signing where his picture with this little kid was him flipping the kid off, and non wrestling fans were like, "That's one of the greatest fucking things I've ever heard." I was like, "Yeah, it's a fucking wrestler fan who he's the fucking bad guy. He keeps the act going no matter what. He's not like, oh, I'm a bad guy on TV, and then you meet, oh, it's nice to meet you. No, he there's a video of him on the internet making fun of a dude in a wheelchair at a signing. It's like, oh, you want to see what I can do? And he gets up and walks in a fucking circle because that guy couldn't, obviously. Yeah. It's like,
or something.
I don't know if he made a kick. I know the kid he flipped off was like loving it, I think, because I think the little kid tried to flip him off back but did like this finger or something. It was hilarious.
I'm surprised Joey's not a fan of MJF. But I think I know why, and we can't talk about those things.
Hey, click where we hook it.
Updates for Sasha and Naomi. You know, they are suspended, no end in sight, without pay. And since there's no pay for their contracts, it's very likely that their contracts won't be frozen. Obviously, if they suspend the superstar, but they're still with getting pay, there's very likely if they would freeze someone's contract or if they're hurt. But I think Sasha's deal is almost up soon. So if they're writing it out to the end, like, good for them. But then they could easily just leave the company altogether.
That'd be weird seeing, like, the women that come up from NXT.
Yeah.
Another promotion. I mean, you don't really see the women cross over too much. Like,
yeah.
You know,
Like, I mean, honestly, if you think about AEW's women division, obviously we have Athena for this week, Ember Moon. Yeah. But do we have anybody else?
Tony Storm, but they didn't
really.
Tony
Storm was.
She was established NXT. Before.
Well, she was established before, and she went to NXT UK.
For most time,
that's
yeah.
where she was most of her time.
But she was established before she went to NXT UK, she's different too.
But, I mean, it wasn't.
So, but other than that, I mean. I don't think Ruby was really an NXT person, was she? I don't
think she was indie. She was
so yeah, same thing. So yeah, I mean Sasha would be one of the first ones that's like that NXT, especially of the four horsewomen NXT. I guess that's what it is. It's just one of those. It's
yeah. If you have one of those four, and then like sort of like Alexa Bliss or
yeah,
I think she just goes straight into acting. I don't think she jumps to another company.
Which that could very well happen too. That could very easily happen.
Yeah, and I think that's what probably what she's gonna lead into more. You know, she got that credit for Mandalorian, and after that, she's like, well, I don't.
Yeah, what?
And she went under her real name because WWE was like, we want you to be credited as Sasha Banks for the show, and she was like, no, like this is my own.
They get money for that, yeah.
Right, so there's like, this is my own avenue, and if it's acting that I want to do next, fuck it.
Which might be something she got from The Rock, because his first few movies were either The Rock or Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and then it slowly went to just Dwayne Johnson.
Right. So, Jake Atlas, former WWE superstar, probably now former AEW star, who was in for a sip of coffee, was arrested for battery, misdemeanor and battery, against his partner Duke Hudson, who's current NXT superstar. This happened in Florida. No, I don't remember, but
they were. Oh, I didn't know they were. You said they're partners.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought they got into like a fight. Like, I didn't know they were. I thought when you said it was Duke Hudson, I was like, oh, okay, they got in a fight like backstage or something, or at the Performance Center or something.
No. It's domestic partner. Domestic violence is what this is all about.
Amber Heard.
Sure.
Fucking caught the L. Everybody take a round of applause. Our boy Johnny Depp pulled it out. Good job, Johnny.
Joey's an Amber fan, that's why.
I'll fucking beat Joey's ass right now. I will drive to his house, kick in that door you see behind him, and beat his ass right now. Then I'll catch a fucking charge.
Crotch chops.
Yeah.
X-Pac.
Yeah.
I'm like, I clicked on a B.
We got Jeff Hardy. He looked pretty beat up in his match with the Bucks. He's pulled from his show this week. So was Adam Cole. Both of them dealing with injuries. Unfortunately, we think now the match that he had with Darby, that fucking demolition derby match.
Yeah.
It's finally taken a toll on his body, and that's why the weeks after he's been very sluggish. So he's not inebriated, Joey.
He almost didn't get up. I mean, of course, and then he wrestled half the match with his boot unzipped.
Yeah.
And then seemed like he was struggling to get onto the top rope to do a Whisper in the Wind.
Yes.
It was.
Yeah, he was struggling to do a bunch of things, and I was like, oh, damn, I thought he was, like, concussed.
I thought it was obviously with Jeff Hardy, I'm going to start this sentence off with, I love Jeff Hardy. I've always loved Jeff Hardy. He's always been one of my favorites. But the way it was at first, because obviously I wasn't fully paying attention because I was at Joey's house or had food or talking, whatever. But watching it, it was like, of course, my first thought is this TNA Sting match. And I was like, son of a bitch, not again. And then it's. What?
I don't remember this match at all.
The Sting Jeff Hardy? That's because it wasn't one.
No, I'm talking about the
I was talking about the Sting Jeff Hardy match. Like, oh, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, fuck you, Joey. How about that?
But anyways, that was my first initial thought, and then AJ brought up that he was concussed, and then I see him take a stupid bump, and I'm like, and then AJ's like, oh, he might be concussed. I'm like, yeah, that's very possible too, because he's taking some dumbass spots in this, and his boots halfway unzipped. That could be it too.
Yeah, I was just like.
And then he continued to do dumbass spots as he's struggling to get to his spots, he's still doing dumbass spots. I'm like, okay, oh, okay, Jeff, come on.
Fucking spot with Matt Jackson on the steel.
The swan, yeah, like, the swanton, yeah.
I was like, oh. I'm like, maybe Matt just took it, just you know, to make sure that Jeff doesn't die.
Well, then props to Matt Jackson. Then
that was the original spot that was supposed to happen. It was just like, I'm like, I don't know if you should be going up on the top anymore, my dude. Yeah. Like, you're like borderline about to fall the other way. Like, this, it was pretty bad. But it seems like the tolls of that match with Darby is starting to catch up to Jeff's 45-year-old body.
Dude, that's so crazy to me that they're that old still. Which, I mean, I know I'm freaking, yeah, I'm 30 now. So they would be, because I grew up watching them. It's freaking weird, dude. Joe, I can't believe how old you must feel.
Yeah, I feel the same. When I get up, play some cornhole, been struggling all week. I just don't tie my shoes anymore, either.
Why, is because you got gout?
No, it's just my hips hurt to bend down the time, so I just let it go.
Isn't that like every other day, too? Your hips hurt and you get off the toilet?
No, I'm good with that.
Throw your back out.
I do that enough. My body's used to that.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't think the Hardys are wrestling much longer.
I don't think so either. I know they really want to be AEW Tag Team Champions, but they're gonna be like champions for like 2 months.
Yeah.
They're gonna be the transitional champion. Because I was just like, guys, I love the Hardy Boys.
Yeah, I don't.
You're a tag team. I'm just like, just stop, please.
Yeah, I don't want them to hang it up, but I don't want them to die either. So
yeah, yeah, it's too much.
It hurts me to watch Matt do anything. He's so
brutal. Yeah.
Like walk.
Yeah.
Bow-legged ass, stiff as a board. WES. This is the promotion that the, what are they called now? The Legion of Pain, former Authors of Pain. This promotion that they started. Their first show was to take place in the UK relatively soon, but they ran into some issues with the arena, and the arena couldn't put on the show, so they had to postpone the show. The show was now going to take place, I think, July 9th. A lot of the talent that was supposed to be for that show were upset because they weren't told that the show wasn't going to happen anymore. And a lot of them weren't going to be able to do the new show date either. One of them being Deanna Purrazzo. She was supposed to be on the show. She took the liberty and was like, yeah, I can't do this new date. So, you know, I was looking forward to going to UK. It'll have to happen some other time down the line. Their first show already postponed, which sucks. You know, headliner, I think, was going to be Adam Scheer, Braun Strowman versus Aleister Overeem. Fucking weird as hell. Guess he can't fucking fight anymore, so he's now wrestling. But there are actually a lot of good talent that were going to go to the show, so it definitely sucks for sure. I know Joey's really disappointed, but Lena Fenay was supposed to be there. Nia Jax was supposed to be there, and she was going to have a match.
Canceled show probably saved somebody's life.
unless she was fighting Aleister Overeem, then she could have really beat the shit out of him. Like, that could have been just like a bar burner of a match. When I mean match, it's just a fight.
A fight, yeah.
Yeah.
I like to see him give her some receipts. Like, give him a potato me one more time, but then he just goes off.
Well, you know, Nia broke Becky's nose, and Aleister's notorious for having a glass chin, so, like,
if I go, she potatoed him and knocked him out.
All right, Joe, I might call up Aleister over him to go to your house and have him, you could potato him and see what happens.
Joe, you probably need to get your stepladder out for that one. I think he's pretty tall.
No, Joey's gonna fetal position in the corner. He'd be like, "Don't beat me up."
So jump off his fucking couch.
I'll run up and do a gold dragon punch for you.
Shuriken?
Yeah.
All right. Lacey Evans was supposed to be on Raw this week. No show. They even advertised her and everything on TV programming that Lacey Evans was going to make her return to WWE Raw and then not have anything for her.
Is that her fault or their fault?
Both.
Like, is this a Sasha thing again where she just didn't show up?
No.
Was she there?
No. She was Grand Marshal for a car race in Charlotte. Joe, you probably know about that, you hick.
I do not watch NASCAR.
Okay. Blake caught that, but nobody else did. but also, you know, this whole idea of Lacey coming back to Raw and being a heel, I'm pretty sure they have no idea what gimmick they want to use because, you know, she's supposed to be this army brat, you know, this baby face with a terrible backstory.
Now she's a NASCAR driver.
Yeah. And now I have a feeling Raw, the writers had no idea what they were going to do to bring her back. And obviously they wanted her to be a heel. And they're like, well, shit, how do we pivot this?
I mean, that happens when you have...
Like, just go out and be a bitch. You know, just go out there and be a bitch. That's all you got to do.
But that's also what happens when you have non-wrestling people as your writers, you know?
That's true.
Well, I mean, think about it, like, what is Sasha Banks' gimmick? She don't have one. She's just... Sasha Banks.
No, she's the boss,
she's
dude.
The boss.
That's not a gimmick. Well, not really.
She's, yeah, it is.
Hey, AJ, don't forget to bring up Joey's favorite segment of Double or Nothing.
What the fuck are you talking about?
The sharpshooter.
Oh, yeah. Had to give Joey
way past that.
Had to give Joey. We forgot that. To give Joey a soapbox.
No, he can have it in a little bit.
I have nothing. I have no words.
Okay, there you go.
Dude, I'm telling you, it was one of my favorite things because there was like three attempts at a sharpshooter and all of them looked bad and Joey was pissed every time and it made me so happy every time. It had me coming into matches that had no reason to have a sharpshooter in. I'm like, hey, somebody throw a sharpshooter on.
Cole did one on Joe, right? Was that the first one? And Cole couldn't do it because, I mean, Joe's a big fucking dude. And, like, I'm pretty sure you're going to cross his legs. I think that was the first one. Ruby did it, like, tried doing it, like, five times and fucked it up every
fucking time. Failed every time. She didn't even do a good single leg Boston Crab.
Yeah, that's what Joe was yelling.
She,
like,
she put it on and then just immediately fell backwards.
Yeah.
And then Punk did one. At the end.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Joey was sleeping for that.
I don't remember much of anything.
You are correct.
That sounds about right.
There are reasons for that we shall no longer. Moving on.
Wardlow, he is going to get new music. No idea when they're going to debut it, but he is going to get new music.
I didn't actually get to... I had to watch most of it on mute last night. Was that not his new music? I tried to listen to it.
No, it was the old music.
I thought it was new music, but they kept the This Is War or whatever it yells out, and I was super excited about that. But hopefully they keep it for the new music.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But apparently he's getting new music. Parker Boudreaux, the former Harland, in Dustin's case... Blake also is a free agent now. The expiration date of his NXT contract is over now. There was a lot of speculation that he was going to go to MLW. He took to social media saying that was not going to be the case. I don't even know if he's going to stay in wrestling altogether. You know, the reason why they released him is because they didn't think he was going, like, progressing fast enough. So I don't know if he's going to stick with it or, I don't know, be a weightlifter. Fuck, God, beats me.
He could probably control his narrative, dude.
Yeah, he could. He can control it straight to hell.
Wow, dude. That was rude.
Joey said it.
just repeating what he said.
WWE expected to sign former Bellator star Valerie Lareda. She's been training with Gangrel since WrestleMania. They're hoping to have her in the Performance Center in July. Trying to capitalize on Ronda's no nothing. Skills, apparently. So yeah, that was.
Hey, Paige VanZant, much better than.
Hell Ronda. Yeah, a million times better.
She has a couple things she needs to work on of like stop pointing and the way she emotes in the ring, but as far as ring work, not bad.
You'll get there.
Yeah, first match, you know, give her time.
Yeah, Ziggler, CJ Perry, and Renee Paquette were all backstage yesterday for yesterday's show, which is pretty cool. Ziggler was there to see his brother and some friends, Ryan Nemeth. You know, obviously part of the Wingman. He went to go see his brother. Obviously, Ziggler hasn't been on TV.
That's the dude on stand up. That's the dude on Being the Elite that I can't fucking stand. Right?
Yes.
I fast forward every time I watch it. Being the Elite. Yep. As soon as I see him, I fast forward it every time. So, every time I can't stand that dude.
So fucking stupid. He's got such a terrible gimmick.
It's. Whatever. I mean, it is whatever he does is the worst.
Yes. Johnny Elite. Johnny Impact, John Morrison, Johnny Nitro, Johnny Progress, Johnny Game Changer, Johnny Superstar, Johnny Caballero, whatever you want to call him.
Johnny Mundo.
Is not signed full-time with AEW.
And he's just
doing appearances.
And it shows because he gets his ass beat every time he's in the ring.
Well, he's 1-2 now. I mean, he had a dark match. So he's fine. Which, it's fine. He doesn't need to be winning. Fine. He had an open contract for the returning Miro. The Redeemer is back. He's here to redeem all of your sins, Joey. You piece of shit.
Got a lot of redeeming.
Yeah, I know.
You better get started.
No.
He's saving Joey for last. We won't be here all fucking day.
Yeah. We haven't seen Miro for quite some time. He was dealing with an injury and he was. Then also wanted to do TV, so he filmed the TV pilot for some show. I have no fucking clue what the show is, but he's back, and I'm fucking for it. I'm stoked. He should fight CM Punk for the world title, but that's just me. I think it would be a pretty good match, so why not? But we had another person come through the forbidden door, the Ace. Of New Japan Pro Wrestling, Hiroshi Tanahashi. And Hiroshi Tanahashi is going to fight CM Punk at the Forbidden Door pay-per-view for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship.
Although the title's on the line?
Yes.
I didn't think of that. Hmm.
And then is that Okada match? Is that signed? Is that official?
So they haven't officially said yes. But internally, it's listed Hangman versus Okada at Forbidden Door. That's everyone's talking about it. A lot of sources and reports are saying that's what's going to happen. I don't see why not. I think that's going to be fucking a banger of a match.
Battle of the Clotheslines.
Hangman is facing David Finlay next week on Dynamite, so... You know, it kind of gave him a win over New Japan. And if Okada's still champion after Dominion, Dominion's going to be happening relatively soon, maybe within the next couple weeks. Because Okada's facing Jay White for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship.
When is that?
If Okada... What?
Is that before...
That's before Forbidden Door.
Then it's not going to be fucking Okada. It's going to be fucking Jay White, okay?
I'm just saying.
Jay White versus the new IWGP heavyweight champion, Jay White versus Hangman Page. Calling it now.
For the time being, Okada's still champion.
Fuck Okada.
I understand. Everybody watches Okada versus Punk, right? Champ versus champ. However, obviously, if Okada's still champion by Forbidden Door time, obviously New Japan's going to be like, well, we're not having my champion lose. So, unfortunately, if... Okada's still champion. Hangman will be definitely taking the L there. But regardless, that's going to be a fucking banging match.
We got a little bit of Bullet. Well, it ain't going to fucking happen, okay? We got a little bit of Bullet Club on Dynamite this week. Then we should get more Bullet Club going forward.
Yep.
Jay Watt's going to be the champion.
Outside of that, PW Insiders are reporting W. Morrissey done with Impact. I think his final taping is at the end of this month that hasn't, that's already been filmed or whatever and hasn't been shown yet. But he's done an impact.
Bro, speaking of that, Enzo's still been wrestling. I seen a video a couple weeks ago of Enzo wrestling. They should team back up.
Who knows? Maybe. They could go to MLW together. They're definitely not going to AEW, that's for sure. I know WWE was really impressed with W. Morrissey's one-off match with Wardlow. I wouldn't be surprised if they reach out to him to be like, hey, maybe you want to think about coming back. I don't know. We'll see. But as of lately, he's completely done with Impact. Who's know what happens next for him?
It'll never happen. But if we're just fucking watching wrestling one night and that fucking and Enzo and Cass's music hits and they both fucking come out.
Blake's losing his shit.
Bro, count me back in, okay? Count me back in. Fucking, you bring back, like, we get that end zone cast back, fucking count me back in, dude.
Blake's gonna have to change his pants twice.
Maybe.
And last little bit of news I have, July 23rd, mark your calendars, Ring of Honor is returning to pay-per-view again. Death Before Dishonor will take place at Lowell, Massachusetts. That's where they're doing it. Their first pay-per-view, obviously, since Supercard of Honor. Hopefully that this pay-per-view is going to be the jump start for them to get TV opportunities also. Unless they get it before, but who knows? Maybe they want to see how well buys do for this show.
But they were really good for TBD. They were really good for the Supercard of Honor, though, weren't they?
Yeah, it was a really... they had fucking shit ton of buys. Most since, a long time. Before even the pandemic. Yeah. I think it had better buys since the one that they did at Madison Square Garden. Back that G1 Supercard, I think.
You're talking about the same Madison Square Garden that Jay White single-handedly sold out?
That's correct.
That same one? Okay.
Also, that same one that Enzo and Cass showed up for no fucking reason. That nobody said that they could have.
Hey, let's fucking go. You know what I mean? Fucking 2 + 2 = 4. We got fucking... Let's go.
But yeah, that's it for news.
And now we got to pick this shitty Backlash card. Or, I mean, Hell in a Cell. Yeah. Whatever premium live it is.
I got a heart out in about 10 minutes.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You gotta take another shit?
No.
You can get shit to do. Okay, I pick last. First up, we have the 6-person mixed tag team match. Finn Balor, AJ Styles, and for some reason that makes absolutely no sense, Liv Morgan. Excuse me, versus the Judgment Day of Edge, Damian Priest, and Rhea Ripley.
I've been picking against Judgment Day since its inception, which has only been since WrestleMania. I'm just going to pick Judgment Day because I'm pretty sure the fourth member will be revealed at Hell in the Cell. And it's either Tommaso Ciampa or it's going to be Finn.
I like both of those.
Yeah.
Why not both, dude? Let's fucking...
I'd rather have Tommaso. I'm going to go with Judgment Day. Also,
Dustin.
Yeah, the same.
Hey, fuck you. Why don't you pick Liv?
Yeah, Joey and Dustin.
We got Adam.
Adam.
Yeah.
Pick with your brain, not your heart.
That is incorrect. I picked with my heart, picking Kyle O'Reilly. I 100% thought he would lose that match, but I still picked with my heart, and I was fucking right. Same with Adam Cole. Next up, we have a singles match for the WWE United States Championship. We have one named Theory, who is defending against Mustafa Ali.
Mufasa Ali. Theory. I don't even know why this is a match.
Right.
Theory, yeah. When in doubt, just pick the champion.
When in doubt, Joy picks his nose.
that's going to be Theory across the board. I would like to pick Ali, but next up we have a singles match. We have Ezekiel versus, not Elias. We have Elias's younger brother, Ezekiel, versus Kevin Owens.
Ezekiel.
That's so stupid. I hate this.
I have a question. I understand how this started. What the fuck is the payoff? Like, what is the end of this? Like, where does this...
It's something formula. It's so stupid.
Like, I see...
This is the payoff. Ezekiel wins. Kevin finally acknowledges that Ezekiel's not Elias.
Kevin Owens goes from WrestleMania with fucking Stone Cold to this.
It only works because Kevin Owens is part of it, though.
It don't work. It sucks.
I don't know. I mean, Kevin Owens has been selling the shit out of this, and also I've seen he tweeted out a thing. Somebody sent in some designs that WWE should probably rip off and not pay their artists, the artists who did it, because it's only something WWE would do, of some shirts that they made that was pretty awesome. I'll see if I can find it, and I'll send it in the chat. It was pretty funny. Joey, yeah. Dustin, who you guys got?
I got Ezekiel, unfortunately. Same.
Bro, how am I going to win the championship if we all... All right, next up, another match that nobody cares about. We have a 2-on-1 handicap match. Bobby Lashley, poor Bobby Lashley, stuck in this fucking program, versus Omos and MVP.
Is this feud about over with?
I would hope so for Bobby Lashley's sake, but
yeah, I think this is. Okay, I think
we'll,
the blow.
We'll go with Bobby Lashley then.
All the times I've picked Bobby, Bobby's always fucked me. But I think I am gonna pick Bobby this time. Now Bobby's gonna lose.
Dustin.
Yeah, I was gonna pick Bobby. And he's gonna pin MVP, but
so you are picking sure. Bobby.
I'm pretty sure that's why MVP's in that match.
That one protects both of them, but also it's like we were talking about, I don't know, a week or so ago, where we were naming company top babyface. You're not going to have Bobby Lashley lose this match when he's literally one of your two top babyfaces, three top babyfaces in the company. But then again, it's WWE, so who the fuck knows? Next up, we have a triple threat match for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. Does the Intercontinental Championship like still exist?
No. Only
physically,
in your hearts.
But not, you know.
Only in your hearts it exists.
Yeah. So, like I said, triple threat match for the Raw Women's Championship. Bianca Belair, the champion, versus Asuka versus Becky Lynch.
Bianca.
Yeah, retain.
Yep, retain. Becky's going to take that pin.
Which is stupid.
So Blake picked Becky.
No.
Are you not telling us who you pick?
Yeah, I picked Judgment Day, Theory, Ezekiel. We all have the same picks. The picks are the exact same across the board.
That's crazy.
That's what I just said. How is somebody going to win the championship if we all... Like, it's going to come down to fucking Tom. I'm not even going to look at the fucking picks on Sunday. Like, there's no point. We all have the same. And for this one, we have a Hell in a Cell match because it's the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. Fucking go figure. Cody Rhodes versus Seth freaking Rollins.
It's actually hard.
Not really.
And you'd think Cody would win, but he's done beating twice.
Fucking, I'll fucking do it again. Fucking WWE's mentality.
If they did have Batista beat Triple H like 3 pay-per-views in a row during their feud.
Yeah. And this is Cody. This is Cody who's getting super special. At 9:05 Eastern Standard Time, Cody Rhodes entrance music will start.
Yeah, they're really hyping him up so other AEW guys will come over. I'll go with Cody.
AJ's your guy coming back for this match? Ben?
It's very possible.
Who?
I'm gonna pick Cody. Because I think this could potentially spawn a new feud. I don't know, for maybe for Rollins, But what if the Fiend comes back? Bray Wyatt comes back and attacks Seth after, or I would maybe say after.
If they fucking do it and they fuck this up again, I'm fucking done with WWE. I don't care who they bring back, who they fucking sign, who they whatever. I'm fucking done. If they should not have fucked this up the first time.
Yeah, they will.
And they fucked it up so fast. Immediately they fucked this up. Like, it was so fucking cool. That I literally the other day watched his first entrance video again. From, like, the first time he did his Fiend entrance, where he fucking came out with the fucking Bray Wyatt head lantern. This shit was so fucking cool, dude. And they, I mean, it was almost immediately just in the fucking toilet.
He'd have to win that feud, so that means Rollins would lose two feuds in a row.
Yeah, because fuck Rollins, you know?
Yeah. That's the thing, it's like, okay, I feel like this is the blow-off match for this feud, finally. Obviously, they want to build Cody to be a potential next feud for Roman. After this is Money in the Bank.
And Cody's going to win Money in the Bank.
I think Cody's going to win Money in the Bank.
I was just about to say that.
Rollins would have to do something else.
I could see Rollins in the match, the Money in the Bank match.
I could see that too. But I also see like, well, the last Hell in a Cell match Rollins was in, he lost to Edge. I was like, is Rollins gonna get a Hell in a Cell win back? I don't know.
I would rather Rollins beat or win the Money in the Bank. But then he holds on to it and then Cody gets just a regular preview match, SummerSlam or whatever, with Roman, beats Roman for a belt, both however they do it. And then Rollins continues their feud. Or the threat of cashing in the Money in the Bank against Cody.
I mean, that'd be fun. That's not going to happen, but that'd be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fucking lock for Cody to win that Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost a fucking lock. I don't care who they put in the match. You can put fucking Roman in the match, and I think it's still a fucking lock for Cody to win that shit.
All right, what's the next match?
That's the last match.
Oh, there is no world title.
No. That's the thing. There's no tag team titles. There's no Intercontinental title. There's no SmackDown Women's Championship. No NXT title. I mean, nothing. There's fucking nothing.
What the fuck?
What are we picking the time on? Which?
Well, we're gonna pick the title on the Hell in Cell match. Well, I still gotta get Dustin's pick. Dustin.
Yeah, Cody.
Okay. So this might be also another first. So coming off of the first of the most successful title defenses and consecutive title defenses in a row, this also might be first where you, as of right now, we still got to get Adam's picks. I sent him the stuff. As of right now, we are completely 100% unanimous across the board on picks.
We know
this,
Adam's.
And you're doing it on
Dustin's a queef.
The reason I did on Hell in Cell is because I figured that would be the main event. I figured that's going to go on last.
I'm going to say 28 minutes.
Oof. Someone's got to get some time. I'm not
sure. Yeah, there's not something you're going to give a whole lot of time to. So.
Yeah. That's good.
What did you say?
28. Just,
yeah.
Okay. 29, but
no, I was going to say 27. I was literally thinking 27, and Joey's like 28. I was like, you cunt.
Dude, are we all going to pick super close times together, too? Or is it make this really fucking hard?
Dustin's going to be like 13 minutes.
Yeah, and he's probably going to be the fucking closest one.
This ain't a Brock Lesnar match.
Fucking 8-minute Hell in a Cell match, dude. Here we go. AJ, Dustin, times?
I said 27.
Oh, okay. You never... I didn't know if you were... Dustin?
I'm going to go with 25.
Dude, I just do 26 and just put us all right there together?
Might as well.
I think I'm going to do...
Like, going to be like 29.
I was thinking 29. But don't want to be on the...
24?
Don't want to be on the... 29. Don't want to be on the under, though. Don't want to be on the under.
For Hell in a Cell?
All right, over-under props here. What am I thinking? Over-under props. Let's put this in betting terminology.
Ask your boy Pat.
Putting some money on half fucking... Well, probably smart idea. Over under, let's say, Tell in a Cell, we get 6 matches. 29 minutes is a long fucking time. Wait.
If you don't hurry up and pick a time.
Punk and them went 25-40 for just different. A match. Yeah, I'm going to do 29. All right. We have all the same picks. I got to send Adam the time so he doesn't pick one of those times. Yeah, so there are the picks for this week. We should be back next week to talk about how shitty that pay-per-view is going to be. Maybe we watch it. Maybe we don't. Who knows? Stay tuned. Find out next week on Raw Dogs Wrestling Show. We will see you guys next week. You guys got anything?
Nope.
All right.
Nope.
We'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
See ya.